This time in our country, and the subject of our message, as you saw in the bulletin this morning, is this: the Christian and the news. The Christian and the news. Now, that's the technical title, but the title that I really like for this morning's message is this: does the news use you, or do you use the news? All right, I want you to try to say that with me. Can you do that? I told you the message was going to be different this morning. Ready? Does the news use you, or do you use the news? I think that's very important, and we're going to see that unfold in the Word of God this morning. So take a look, first of all, with me at John chapter 17, and one of the key verses we want to note is verse 15, which says this: I pray not, John 17, 15, that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, you know news is such an important part of our life today, and we pray that you will help us to get a biblical perspective of it this morning. And for that, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to say to you this morning that we live in a society that is news saturated, would you agree with that statement or not? I believe that you would agree with that statement. We live in a news saturated world. I want to review history just for a moment, especially for the sake of our young people. And as I review history, I want us to think about the days when I was growing up, when we had three television stations, and at a certain time at night, they would go off the air. And I used to enjoy that. If I could sneak away to stay up until 11 or 12 o'clock when it would go off the air, I'd like to see the peacock, for example, or I'd like to see that weird symbol that they had. And then it was really interesting because that played all night long. Remember that? If you got up during the night and turned your TV on, there would be that crazy signal on there. Back in the old days, it was just black and white, and then it got to be a color signal, and it would show the three stations, ABC, CBS, and NBC. Those would be the primary stations. And news-wise, they would have a half-hour program, usually when people got home from work, and then they would have a half-hour program, usually at 11 o'clock, or call it the 11 o'clock news. But that changed a lot. In 1980, Ted Turner started something called CNN. And CNN was devoted to not just a half-hour news after work and a half-hour news in the evening before bed, but actually it ended up being a 24-hour news program. And so they had to take what used to take a 30-minute slot after work and repeat it at 30 minutes, 11 o'clock, and now they had to expand it to 24 hours. So instead of having a 30-minute segment that you played twice, now you had to come up with 48 half-hour segments. And it caught on. People liked it, started watching it, and as a result, it advanced from there. And it advanced to the point where you end up now with MSNBC, you end up with CNN, you end up with Fox News, and there are many different programs that have 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week news, and also you add to that radio, and you add to that internet, and you add to that newspapers, and you add to that other things, and we clearly live in a news-saturated world. And the question mark would be, is there really that much news that we need to know about? And the answer is what? No, there really isn't. And so when you think about the news, we have to keep in mind a couple of things. Number one, yes, we do live in a news-saturated world. And yes, much, if not most of today's news is sensationalism to capture you and keep your attention. Overblown stories to keep your interest so that you'll watch the programs and support the advertisers. And yes, much if not most of today's news capitalizes on the negative and not the positive. A number of years ago, our daughter, who was a student of Bob Jones University, was in the radio and TV broadcasting department, and she got a job at one of the local stations, I won't tell you which one it was, of running the weekend news crews. And we asked her, she said, how's that job working? How's that work? She says, well, if there's a lot of blood, it works real well. But if there's not much blood, it doesn't work very well at all. And we said, what's that? She said, well, Dad, there's a little saying that we have in the news world, and it's this: if it bleeds, it leads. And she said, if we have a weekend where there's a lot of violence, a lot of crime, a lot of other things, the news crews do really well and the news ratings go really high. But if there's not much of that, it kind of drops off. Well, we know that. That's not just something she experienced in that stage of her life, but that's something we all realize. And yet, in realizing it, how do we as Christians actually handle it? That is the question. What is a Christian to do in this news-saturated world? We are in the world. John chapter 17, verse 15 tells us that. In God's plan, he could have easily, the moment we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, taken us into heaven, into his very presence for all eternity. He could have done that. When a person is saved, just disappear. You're gone. Boy, that'd be kind of nice in one way, because then you wouldn't have to question a person's salvation, right? Someone comes forward, an invitation, they pray a phony prayer, and they're still standing there. When you open up your eyes, you go, that wasn't real. Okay. Someone comes forward, an invitation, they say a prayer, they really repent, you open your eyes, they're gone. Say, well, that worked for them. But that's not how it works. God saves us, and then God sets us apart to serve him and be a testimony for him. So we are in the world. But notice the rest of the verse. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Jesus is praying. These believers, these Christians, they need to be in the world. But notice the contrast, that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So we're to be in the world, but another expression is what? Not of the world. We are in the world, we live here, and so we need to be aware of what's going on, but we need to be sure that it is not monitoring and it is not motivating our life. We are in the world, but we should be kept from the evil. We are to measure everything by the yardstick of truth. You see that in the next couple of verses that unfold in John chapter 15. It says, I pray, verse 15, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the world. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, here's our yardstick. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, we're only looking at a small summary in these three verses, but you can go all through chapter 17 and see this repeated over and over and over again. There's the world. We are not to be in it. There's the world. We're to judge things by truth, not by the yardstick of the world. So we are in the world, but we should be kept from the evil. We are to measure everything by the yardstick of truth. Thy word is truth. And then thirdly, we are to be aware of the times in which we live. I am not suggesting for a moment in this message this morning that we as Christians should live with our head in the sand and ignore all news and not know what's going on around us. That's not the purpose of this message. In fact, take your Bibles, if you would, keeping your marker here in John 17, and go back with me to 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament. And as you go to 1 Chronicles, go to the 12th chapter and go to probably for some of us a familiar verse. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and it's verse 32. It describes the men of Issachar during the time in the nation of Israel. And I want you to listen to the description because I think it applies to what our view should be today regarding the news and the world around us. It says this, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Notice these men of Issachar are commended because they had an understanding of the times. So they knew what was going on. They knew what the news was. But they knew it for the purpose of to know what Israel ought to do, and they had that perspective to it. They had the idea, I know what's going on around me, and I know what's going on, and I know what God wants me to do while it's going on. So don't take this message this morning thinking that as a Christian, I'm in the world but not of the world, so I've got to ignore the news, stick my head in the sand, let things happen just the way they happen. You won't be commended for that. You will be commended, though, when you have a balanced view of the news and use it properly the way God would desire for us to use it. With that in mind, go back to John chapter 17 and verse 15 and take a look again at that verse before we move into our outline for the morning. And that verse is this, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. First point this morning, the news using you. what happens when we fall victim to the news using you? Well, take your Bibles and turn, mentioned it was a topical message this morning, to Ephesians chapter 5. Go to that small epistle to the Ephesians chapter 5, and notice with me verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. The first thing I think we note in regard to the news using you is this. The news can waste your time. The news can waste your time. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16 says this. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. The idea of redeeming means to buy up the time, or the idea of use the time wisely. You have a certain amount of time, and once it's passed, you can't get it back again. Just like you have a certain amount of money, and when you spend it, you don't take it back again. Time is that way. And when you have an hour, for example, and you sit there and watch the news for an hour, and then you walk away from that, you can't get that hour back. And as I mentioned to you, the news can waste your time. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, how many times have you watched the news program and your wife's been in the other room? Or you've watched the news program and your husband's been at work. And then the wife comes into the room and she says, honey, what's new? And you say together, nothing. Now, wait a minute. You just spent an hour watching the news. 60 minutes. And you're saying what? Nothing. The man comes home from work and says, honey, did you see the news today? Oh, yes, I had the news on all day. Really? What's new? Together, she says what? Nothing. Spent all day watching that, and it was what? Nothing. So think about that for a moment. The news can waste your time. The eyes can drift from one insignificant story to another, and that time is spent. It's gone. It can't be retrieved again. And also, conversations can drift from one insignificant story to another. And again, that time can't be brought back again. It's important for us to recognize that the news can waste our time. So we have to be selective and we have to be careful about what we watch in regard to the news. Let me just give you a couple little tips here. Number one, scan the news for important items and avoid frivolous material. There's a lot of frivolous material out there. There's a lot of things discussed on the news and shared on the news that are totally unimportant. And don't cloud your mind with that. Don't let your thoughts be clouded with that. Number two, keep worthwhile reading material in front of you. I don't know. I'm older, and yes, many of you are older, and I can remember back to the days when we didn't have all the news programs and all the other stations and channels and everything like that. And people used to actually, I know this is hard to imagine, but people used to actually read books. Do you know what a book is? A book has been evolved into your Kindle or your iPad or your whatever else. It's words on a page. We used to actually do that. And you know something that's really interesting about this when you think it through? Back in the 70s and then the 80s, even going back to the 60s, there were numerous Christian books being written and being read. Many of them bringing people to a knowledge and understanding of the Bible and a decision to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. My wife's testimony to that. We went to the church, we heard the Word of God preached, we were thinking about spiritual things, we didn't have a real handle on salvation. And I remember one day my wife said she was reading a book called 666 by Salem Kirby. It was talking about what happened after the rapture. And my wife, I called my wife from work that day and I said, honey, what's new? And she said, I got saved today. I said, you what? And she said, I got saved today. She said, I've been reading this book, 666. I realized that God is coming. I realized if I'm not ready, I'll be left behind. And I've accepted the Lord as my Savior. You come to our home, to our family room, and you will see the chair in our family room where my wife knelt over 40-some years ago and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior after reading that book, 666. And there were many books like that that were out there. They weren't just theological books teaching you to be a student. They were books that were telling you about the things of the Lord, or even fiction that was talking about the things of the Lord and whatever. But you don't find much of that today. You know why? because people don't read much today. I'm surprised when I ask people, what's the last time you read a good book? One of the questionnaires on the pastoral survey looking for a pastor is, what book have you read in the last year, or books have you read in the last year that have impressed you? Why is that? You want to know what a person's reading. Why is that? Because as a person reads, they will probably what? Think. And what they think or know, they will end up, what's our Chronicles passage? Doing. You see? So it's important for us to use our time wisely. We can be robbed of our time by looking at insignificant, inconsequential items, or we can spend our time reading and looking at worthwhile material that is a help to us. And I think we need to be very careful about that, and there's plenty of avenues to follow in order for us to get good, solid news without having to use the world system of revealing news to us today, or at least using discernment in that. We don't watch the major television stations anymore. We just gave up on that because I can't stand commercials. I want to shoot my TV when a commercial comes on. I hate commercials. I will say that. I think it's a biblical thing. I will find scripture to support that someday. They're trying to get my money in their pocket, and what I get isn't anything like what it should be. I don't even need it. But I just hate them. So we didn't watch that anymore. But occasionally, we'll be somewhere and we'll flip on a news station. We don't have cable or anything, so we'll flip on a news station. And I'll look at that, and here's what amazes me. They say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. You can watch it for 5 or 10 minutes and get it and turn it off. But instead, they've got to keep that 24-hour segment going, and so they go over it again and again and again. And then they find the most insignificant things, you know? This guy did this terrible deed. And they found out that when he was in school, he used to cut his toenails and not pick them up off the floor. Isn't that terrible? And Sally will tell you all about it. Hey, I'll tell you, man, he was a good guy, but he just cut his toenails and they were on the floor and everything. And I mean, silly stuff that just eats up your what? Time. God has given us all the gift of time. And we need to be sure that we do not, what? Waste it. Not only that, we see the news using you. The news can waste your time. Number two, the news can pollute your mind. The news can pollute your mind. Take your Bibles and turn to another epistle, Colossians chapter 2. Just over a few pages, Colossians chapter 2. And notice with me the wording in verses 4 through 8. Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. The news can pollute your mind, first of all, by giving you wrong teaching. Colossians 2, verses 4 through 8 read, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, verse 8, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Yes, it is true. The news can waste your time, but yes, it is true, the news can pollute your mind, and it can do it by its false teaching. For example, do you realize that alcoholism is a disease? Do you realize that abortion is a choice? Do you realize that homosexuality is gay? What happens here, folks? We have been taught that. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you can be delivered, for example, from alcoholism. It is a sin that you can confess and get victory and strength through Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches, for example, that abortion is a sin. It is taking of life. Whether that life is in the womb or out of the womb is immaterial. It is still murder. For example, the homosexual community, God warns of the consequences of it. The news doesn't report the consequences of it. They make it seem so appealing, but talk to people that have been in it or talk to people who've died from it, and it's not very appealing. But what happens is the news teaches us. It teaches us, verse 8, the tradition of men, which is wrong. It teaches us, verse 8, the rudiments of the world. The idea of rudiments is an expression that was used when I learned to be a drummer back in high school. I remember going to see the music teacher, and he gave me a little rubber pad and some drumsticks, and he goes, Marty, we're going to start out by learning the rudiments. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and all those rudiments. What is that the idea of? There's a drummer playing, folks. There's a drummer playing God's tune, and there's a drummer playing the world's tune. And the news teaches us to walk to the beat of a different drummer. Not in Christ. Verse 8, beware lest the man should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The news is teaching you. Be careful that you screen it through the text of truth. Not only that, but I want you to note something else. Take a look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Actually, a better passage to note, and you can read this one later, is Proverbs chapter 1. But we'll just look at a summary in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. In Proverbs chapter 1, it tells us, beginning at verse, at verse 10, it says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou what? Not. And there's a whole description there in Proverbs chapter 1 about what to do when people try to attract you or entice you towards sin. And this is our second point we want to look at regarding the news can pollute your mind. It not only pollutes your mind by teaching you, but it also pollutes your mind by tempting you. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, verse 30, cast it off, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. You'll notice it's introduced by verse 27, which says, ye have heard that it was said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. So someone says, well, I won't commit adultery, but I will think about it. I will not do that sin, but I will imagine it. I will think about it. I will put my mind on it. The news, not only that, but other media sources also, have a tendency to not only teach us what is wrong and encourage us to go that direction by enticement, but it also is teaching us by tempting us to think about things that should not even be in our mind. Can I hear an amen there? Amen. It's so important to remember that. The news is not our friend, folks. The news is there for making money. The news is there for teaching you what they want to teach you in the world system. The news is there to make you aware of things, but only because primarily it's there in order to do what? To waste your time in order to pollute your mind. But there's a third thing I want you to see about the news using you. Ready? Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're noting all these out of the epistles written to the church. And as we come to Philippians chapter 4, I bet your mind is already there. In Philippians chapter 4, you want to look at verses 4 through 9. And you want to note this point with me this morning. Not only can the news waste your time, Ephesians 5:16. Not only can the news pollute your mind, and that's Colossians 2 by teaching, Matthew 5 by tempting, but also the news can rob your peace and joy. The news can rob your peace and joy. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, here's the summary. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Folks, can you imagine a newscast that would be based on verse 8? All it would report are the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. How long would that station last? Wouldn't stay, last very long at all, would it? When I was growing up, I actually delivered newspapers. And in delivering newspapers, I had an opportunity at one time to put out a newspaper that was called The Grit. How many of you remember that old newspaper, The Grit? Is it still around today? I'm not familiar with it. It's not very popular. But The Grit was determined to put out only good news. And it cost a certain amount of money. I think it came out once a week or something of that nature. And you'd buy it and would just have happy stories in it. You know, stories of people and good things that were taking place and whatever. They thought that would really take off. But it never really did take off. Because that's not the what kind of news people want today. Isn't that amazing? And think about this when you look at this verse and think about what would happen at the 11 o'clock news before you go to bed, when you're ready and you say, okay, let me look at the news, or 10 o'clock news, we'll look at the news, then we'll go to bed. And on the news, you see this, and 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 then you both lay me down in peace and sleep, for the Lord only maketh me dwell in safety, Psalm 4:8. How many times do you lay in bed at night disturbed? How many times do you have nightmares? How many times do you just wring your hands and break out in a sweat because of the horrible things that are going on right out your door? When the truth of the matter is, so much of that that's being shared is sensationalized. So much of that that's being shared is dramatized. So much of that being shared is to what? Agonize you and make you get up in the middle of the night and watch what's happened. Get up first thing in the morning. Let's see what's happened. What's happening in the whole world? And you say, well, that's just the preacher's perspective. You're just trying to control our life. Really? Is that really the truth? I have in front of me an article written by Graham Davey, The Psychological Effects of the News. He says the exact same thing that the Word of God is saying. They did a study, and their study did this. They took one third of the group and they showed them bad news. They took another third of the group and they showed them good news. And they took another third of the group and showed them impartial news. And they showed through their study that the people that watched the bad news had a bad mood. And they were aggravated, agitated, annoyed, unhappy, restless, whatever. Now listen to that for a moment. Same people living in the same world, observing the same events, but in a negative way, one mood, in a positive way, another mood. Wow, the Lord knows what he's talking about in Philippians chapter 4, doesn't he? He knows what we should be thinking about. And the truth of the matter is, when we saturate our lives with news or media that is negative toward the things of God, then we are going to find our mood saturated toward the negative. It's not just Bible. That's just the way we're made up. And even the psychologists agree with that. So when we take a look at that third point there, we see the news can rob your peace and joy. Fact, most news is bad news. Crime, violence, politics, war, etc. And it tends to be very depressing. And you think, what can I do? And the answer is nothing. You feel like a victim. And you're restless and anticipating what tomorrow is going to bring. So we have to be careful and recognize, and if you say amen, I'll move to my second point. If not, your lunch is going to be delayed. The news using you. The news can waste your time. Halfway there. And the news can pollute your mind. And the news can rob your peace and joy. So you say, well, Pastor, maybe you were wrong in that introduction. Maybe we should just stick our head in the sand and ignore the news. Not at all. In fact, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, gives us an example of this. Let's turn to it together. This is our second point for this morning, you using the news. And we're going to see three things that are going to come out of one passage. It's Luke chapter 13. Go to Luke chapter 13. And in that passage of Scripture, we're going to read the first few verses of it. And we're going to see the Lord using the news. And this is Luke chapter 13. And we're going to note the first five verses. Ready? Luke 13, verses 1 through 5. You using the news. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, verse 3, Nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. When you take a look at this passage of Scripture, you recognize this as an example being set by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You also recognize that this is an example that has two different aspects of news. One is tragic news, where Pilate commits murder of people. And the second is accidental news, where there's an accident and people died from that accident. The tower fell and 18 died. And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have his head stuck in the sand about this. He actually talks about this with his disciples. Why? What's the purpose of it? Well, number one is this. The news may provide a door opener for you to witness regarding Christ. The news may provide a door opener for you to witness regarding Christ. The news about the murder in those first two verses led to this. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The news about the accident, verses 4 and 5, and the 18 who died, verse 5, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The door was open talking about what Pilate did. The door was open talking about the tower falling and 18 perishing. But the door was open for Jesus to give them the gospel of salvation. And basically what he was saying is, listen, these people died by murder unexpectedly. These people died by accident unexpectedly. You may die at any moment unexpectedly. Are you ready to meet what lies ahead? Have you repented of your sin and trusted in me as your Savior? He took the news and he used it as a door of opportunity to bring people to repentance. We can do the same thing. We can use the news by helping people see it's a door opener for them to be saved. Notice number two, the news may provide illustrations for you to share the gospel. This overlaps a little bit, doesn't it? But the news may provide illustrations to promote the gospel. You'll see that in these two illustrations he used. The Pilate killing the Galileans. You see this in the Tower of Siloam, falling and killing the 18. But I just want to read you a couple of quotes this morning that I find extremely helpful. How many of you are familiar with Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers? You're familiar with him, aren't you? All right, listen to what he had to say. Spurgeon said, I have read the newspaper during the last 3 months in order that I might find illustrations of the teachings of our Heavenly Father's world, and I think I have not read in vain. And if you remember, Spurgeon's preaching was so alive and vibrant and practical. That's because he was aware of the news of his day. But he didn't let the news use him. He rather used the news as an illustration of the truths of his Heavenly Father. How many of you remember John Newton? Obviously you do, the writer of Amazing Grace. He wrote something similar. He said this, I read the newspapers in order that I may see how my Heavenly Father governs the universe. Isn't that wonderful? As he read it, he wasn't looking at all the negative and ugly. He was reading it to see what God was doing and using it in his life for that purpose. Oh, I believe very strongly that you can use the news, number one, by using it to provide a door opener for you to witness, just like we see Jesus doing in Luke chapter 13. And number two, using it as an illustration to share the gospel and the reality of what God is teaching. Number three, the news may provide fuel for prayer. You know, I don't know how you are in your situation when you hear something negative in the news, but I like to pray about that. And I don't watch the news that often. I already mentioned that to you earlier. Try to be very selective in that. But let me give you another illustration. When we were in Jacksonville, Florida, we lived on Lem Turner. We were on Capper Road that was just off Lem Turner Road. Lem Turner Road was a major road running north and south in the north end of Jacksonville. And right around the corner, a couple of streets up from us, was a police station and fire department. And we would oftentimes hear sirens coming past the church and coming past the parsonage where we lived on the church property. Often do that. In fact, when we were back there a month ago for the installation of the new pastor, we were talking to Jennifer. We met her on Saturday, and then we went out to lunch, and we got to the church parking lot. We got out of the car. We're standing there talking to her, getting ready to go to lunch, and a siren went by. And I said, oh, music to our ears. Music to our ears. Why? Because we heard that so often. But you know what I used to do when I heard that? Not every time, but I tried to. When I heard that siren, I would try to pray. Lord, somebody's had an accident. Lord, somebody's had a heart attack. Lord, somebody's life has been just turned upside down. Lord, bring a gospel preacher across their path, whether it be at the hospital, a funeral home, whether it be whatever, an accident scene. Lord, I have no idea what all this is about, but I know there's a siren and it's screaming because somebody's in trouble, and I pray for that person, even though I have no idea who they are. Think about how we would be different if when you heard a news program, you would turn that news program off and drop to your couch on your knees and pray for the things that you heard about. We often don't do that. Instead, we start talking to each other about it. We get on the phone, talk about it. We come to church, complain about it. When we fall victim to that, we are allowing, say it with me, the news to use us rather than us use the news. It's a big difference. So we see in using the news, we can see, number one, that the news may provide an opener for you to witness. Number two, the news may provide illustrations for you to share the gospel. Number three, the news may provide fuel for prayer, praying for the families of these Galileans that were unjustly murdered, praying for Pilate to make right decisions rather than wrong decisions as the leader, praying for this family that sent their husband off to work and then the tower fell and he's not going to come home now and this woman's going to be on her own with her children, praying for them. And even opportunities to possibly reach them or help them personally. And then we notice number four, the news may provide fuel for letter writing. Oh my, I feel so dated anymore. Okay, let's start. I got to go back. I hate doing this. How many of you know what a letter is? The post office? A little thing that puts in the corner of the envelope called a stamp. You familiar with a stamp? Okay, you got that? Okay, letter writing, note writing. I'm making mock here, of course. We're familiar with that. But you want to know something? How do you feel when something's gone wrong in your life and somebody says, I'm praying for you? You feel good. Something's gone wrong in your life and somebody raises their hand at prayer meeting and asks for prayer. You feel good. How do you feel when somebody calls you on the phone and ask you how you're doing? Feel good. How many of you feel great when you open up your email and you see an email from somebody or a text from somebody saying praying for you? I love to do that anymore. I've got that little symbol of the praying hands. It's unique to me. When it becomes popular, it's my thing. I won't get any royalty from it. But I have that little icon with the praying hands, and then I put the letter four, and then I put a capital U. Probably not unique with me, is it? I hope I'm not plagiarizing. But I like to do that. Just pray. Yeah, some of you probably received those. Just pray for you. I think it's cool. That's really neat. But what's it like when you come home and you go to your mailbox and you pull out something that has your name and address on it and you open it up and you read what somebody is sharing with you in regard to praying with for you or just thanking you for something or something of that nature? my wife can tell you, you can come to my house and you will find stacks of those notes that we've received over the years. I don't keep the note that just says your name. So if you want to be kept in my history book, you got to write more than that, okay? I mean, but if you write something more than that, you know what I do? I put it in my yearly file, and at the end of the year, I take it out and I put it in another file. I've got cases and I've got stacks of notes with rubber bands around them. And you know what happens? When I get a bit discouraged, or when I just want to reflect on the past, I'll take that rubber band off and I'll start flipping through those notes and cards and reading the things that God has done. Isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine those Galileans, if you knew someone that was taken, that you would write them a note? I am so sorry to hear what happened. You know, your son was a great example to me. I enjoyed working with him, whatever. I know you're going to miss him terribly. We're praying for you. If there's anything we can do, we'd help. They probably still have that note today. The woman who sent her husband off to work and the tower fell on him, a hardworking man, didn't do anything wrong. Jesus said that. It wasn't because of his sin. It just happened. It was an accident. And that woman thinking, how am I going to do this? I've got the children. I have no income. There was no welfare. There was no Social Security or anything back then, was there? And then she gets this note. She gets this note of encouragement, praying for you, willing to help you. We've hurt for you. Oh, folks, I think that we can do that when we see things in the news. We had a fellow in Westchester, Pennsylvania, that used to comb through the newspaper. I couldn't believe he did this, but he used to comb through the newspaper, and whenever he found a name and an address that he could track down in regard to whatever it was, he would drop them a note with a track from our church. Someone had someone killed, he would try to find the address and say, you don't know me, but I read in the paper about your husband being killed, and I want you to know we're praying for you, and put a track in there. I want you to know, I understand that your son died. Can you imagine the impact that has? Using the news in a what? Positive way, rather than having the news use you. And then there's one more, and we're done. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 21, verse 33. Luke 21, verse 33. We have seen, in regard to the using the news, it can provide a door opener for you to witness. It can provide illustrations for you to share the gospel, just like Spurgeon and Newton pointed out. It can be news to provide fuel for fire, as we talked about the praying. It can be news to provide fuel for letter writing, as we've just discussed just briefly. And then number five is this. The news may provide fuel for rejoicing. The news may provide fuel for rejoicing. Listen to Luke chapter 21, verse 31. Here's what we read. It says, so likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Notice also, if you would, verse 36, which says this, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. If you are a Christian, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior today, as you observe the news, and things waxing worse and worse, don't forget our last point. The news may provide fuel for rejoicing. The word know is in verse 31, just like we saw in Corinthians in Chronicles with the sons of Issachar. You'll see the word watch in verse 36. And then you'll see in verse 36 the word pray. And we can see from the news, not that which throws us in the slough of despond, but we can see in the news the work of our mighty Heavenly Father and know and remember we are on the winning side. Dr. Cummins has passed and gone on to be with the Lord now. He was a pastor in Michigan for a number of years, and he was worked with Baptist World Mission for a number of years. And I still remember his illustration that's priceless and timeless. He was a big Michigan's fan. Michigan college football fan. And he would get into it. He was a big man. He had some heart issues, and he'd really get into the game. His wife used to worry about him. One day, his wife went shopping, and she came home, and he was sitting in his recliner watching the Michigan State game, and his team was losing dramatically. And he was just sitting in his recliner. And his wife looked at him and said, "Honey, are you okay?" He said, "I'm fine." "Is this Michigan playing?" "Yes, it is." "They're losing?" "Yes, they are." "You're not upset?" "No, I'm not." "You sure you're okay?" "Yes, I am." "Why aren't you upset?" He said, "The game was played yesterday. This is a tape. I know they win." When you look at the news, folks, remember the final chapter is written and who wins. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us this encouragement through your word this morning. And we just pray that you will help us to discuss this between our mates, between our family, that you might help us have a balanced perspective and a balanced approach to the news that we find in the world today. Thank you, Father, for telling us that we can be in the world but don't need to be of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.